Fix Insider March 29. Merchant. Amazon dominates the world of e-commerce and set the grammar for the sector, so nearly every commerce and DTC business works in a similar way to Amazon, from the customer experience through to shipping logistics. With almost three decades of experience, an almost global platform and coverage of just about every product category, you could argue it's unassailable. But the Wall Street Journal say the dramatic growth of Shein and Temu has caught the attention of Amazon execs and they are reacting. Amazon executives are concentrating in part on two aspects of their business they believe will continue to give them a competitive advantage: customer trust and fast delivery. Employees are working to increase the selection of items available for same-day delivery in categories such as electronics, and the company is exploring promotional campaigns that would emphasize reliability and delivery speeds, the people said. The FT ask, is time running out for fast fashion? And report that the Danish and Swedes have joined with the French to propose restrictions of the exporting of textile waste, which Shein is helping drive. Will they copy the French proposal to use taxation and tariffs, as well as advertising bans, to slow the growth of Shein and similar businesses? The aggressive approach of the Chinese is working in South Korea too, with low prices attracting customers willing to put up with slow delivery. As well as Temu, AliExpress is active here, despite attracting complaints over late delivery, wrong products and counterfeits. South Korea is the fourth largest e-commerce market and has the second highest level of online spending per capita after the US. It's a major player in fashion too, with Coupang, who helped Farfetch avoid bankruptcy with a last-minute acquisition. Now Matches has closed, owing money to over 200 brands as well as many customers, and then Etask, has the luxury e-commerce bubble burst? Well, yes. The physical retail world of high fashion has never been healthier. Spending time in Tokyo, I was impressed by how well high-end retail is done there. And like other major cities, top stores have constant queues outside and rich in-store experiences. The symbiotic relationship between top-end real estate players and top retailers creates new exciting destinations within cities: Dakanyama in Tokyo, Marylebone and Coldrops Yard in London, and the Design District in Miami. The FT has more great examples of compelling retail and shopping's magic moments. One factor in this is, as fashion icon cum artist Martin Margiela puts it, the boundaries between art and fashion are becoming more permeable. High-end retail balances the opportunities of online with the rich experiences possible in stores, whilst the Chinese play in the pound shop space. Is there much they can learn from each other? Swiggy's Instamart bled $125 million in three quarters, the ArcWeb. Retail media. The big players in retail media are always experimenting, and Kroger is no exception. They partnered with Trade Desk last year and plan to work with more DSPs. Their curated audiences sound interesting as they outperform brands' traditional target audiences approach. Keeping up with all these changes and experiments is exhausting, so the Mars report cards are hugely valuable. The latest US cards are available here and the European ones here. A post telling me a contact is speaking at an upcoming retail media event in Hanoi reminded me just how global this newfangled thing is. This good piece on French retail media is further evidence: we are all wrangling with the same issues. AI. The AI arms race continues. Last week, Apple and Google seemed to have reached an unlikely rapprochement, with a Baidu AI deal possibly filling the Chinese hole left by Google. Microsoft got the best bits of ex-Googler and DeepMind co-founder Mustafa Suleiman company Inflection, without the bother of buying the firm. Not to be left out, Amazon announced a $2.75 billion investment in Anthropic, following the initial $1.25 billion deal last September. They are still a minority shareholder and do not have a board seat. It's the largest ever outside investment by Amazon. Will they come back for more? Even though the insatiable appetite for compute means GAFA and Microsoft can control this space, there is room for startups building tools for specific use cases, and the open source API for Fireworks is a good example. Some interesting content, well worth carving out time for. Ethan Mollick is an academic at Wharton and one of the smartest thinkers on AI. We have mentioned him often. This interview with Azim Azhar is a must-listen. AI and the radical transformation of marketing. Stephen Pretorius, the WPP CTO, speaking at a recent NVIDIA event. WPP were super smart in agreeing a partnership with NVIDIA before they blew up recently. At the same event, L'Oreal's chief digital and marketing officer, Asmita Dubey, talked about augmented marketing and beauty with generative AI. Want to know if AI will take your job? A Wall Street Journal reporter tried using it to replace himself. How we are using AI for reliable flood forecasting at a global scale. The Financial Times is ready for its AI to answer your questions. Well, some of them, Neiman Journalism Lab. How media agencies are shifting toward generative AI content and influencer marketing, Digiday. Brands add AI restrictions to agency contracts, behind the growing trend. AdTech. The ANA, building on the great work by ISBA, recently exposed the dollar billions wasted in their programmatic media supply chain transparency study. Now they have commissioned industry veteran Lupus Collis to dig into how to fix things. He starts by reframing the issue as an opportunity. And it really isn't all doom and gloom. The study found there's $22 billion up for grabs in extra media productivity. For context, that's $3 billion more than the GDP of Albania. All it will take for you to realize your fair share of that is a full view of your supply chain that delivers your impressions to the marketplace. By clawing these dollars back from unproductive media and reinvesting them in viewable, measurable media that deliver wholesome experiences for readers, marketers will also help the digital ecosystem by better signaling their expectation of value in programmatic and unwillingness to reward those vendors who fail to deliver to that standard. He has an early convert. P&G marketer Mark Prichtert has shared the new approach to media from P&G, focusing on reach, effectiveness, efficiency, and integrate. There is a lot of common sense here, and Prichtert has industry clout, so hopefully his thinking will be adopted by others. Two very interesting things I noticed: his endorsement of in-house media and one of his calls to action. The call to action: step up to eliminate wasteful touches and costs in the programmatic supply chain and avoid excess frequency through cross-media measurement. The Goodway Group agency share a similar approach, using data from Foo Analytics. Waste in programmatic is an opportunity to take the competitive advantage, not a problem that needs to be checked, solved and swept under the rug, explains Goodway Group CEO Jay Friedman. When we go to a brand and say you can have 20% or 30% of your budget back, it's a completely new way of thinking for them. The demise of cookies and the consequent changes in targeting and measurement may improve the climate for better media, as the strong players squeeze out the small fry. Criteo are using the tech they acquired by buying OpenWeb to build a service layer for the privacy sandbox. Amazon see the changes around cookies as an opportunity and are outselling from a deck highlighting Amazon audiences and model conversions tools, one agency exec said. Here the ad industry is thinking about cookie depreciation and IP depreciation and more widely the end of third-party addressability at scale, and there's Amazon sitting on the sides with one platform for acquisition and purchase. Newt. The activist investor challenging Bob Iger for a Disney board seat came across badly in an FT interview at the weekend, asking why do I have to have a Marvel that's all women? Not that I have anything against women, but why do I have to do that? Why can't I have Marvels that are both? Why do I need an all-black cast? So it is disappointing that another shareholder has signaled support for him. The Hollywood Reporter have good background on the struggle. Disney has announced it will make its inventory available through Google, and the Trade Desk comment from our smart friends at the U of Digital sees how this fits with the general push to improve programmatic. We totally agree. Major streaming publishers are realizing that they have tons of leverage and are starting to cut out the middlemen, namely SSPs and DSPs. Let's take a quick walk down memory lane. In the early days of web advertising, publishers sold their inventory directly to advertisers and had tons of leverage. But as the web proliferated and ad tech companies started utilizing cookies to offer targeted reach to advertisers across many thousands of websites, publishers lost their leverage. Now, as cookies go away, which diminishes the value that ad tech provides, and streaming emerges, a medium in which only a select few publishers truly matter, these publishers are wrestling their leverage back by getting closer to the demand once again. As they should. This is a good take on the co-CEOs running Netflix. When announced, many thought it a mistake, but they have proven complementary. Hollywood's art Ed Sarandos and data-obsessed techie Greg Peters have gotten the streamer back on track. Most of the talk around sports and the switch from linear to streaming is focused on ESPN. This good video documentary from CNBC gets into the issues faced by the new collaboration with Fox and Warner. But have Amazon come up with a play that could change the game for streaming sports? Diamond was a casualty of the switch to streaming, crashing into bankruptcy last year, despite being valued at $11 billion as recently as 2019. Amazon were approached and agreed to invest $115 million as part of a restructuring plan. If approved by bankruptcy court, Diamond will be able to continue airing basketball, hockey and baseball fixtures across American cities. As the FT puts it, the tech giant saw a strategic opportunity to capture more of the U.S. live sports market, for which it currently has a hodgepodge of rights ranging from Thursday night National Football League games to an assortment of U.S. professional women's soccer and basketball. Media and technology observers believe Amazon's sports push has two motivations. First, by adding another plank to its Prime service, it can create more loyalty among customers who are charged nearly $200 a year for free package deliveries as well as streaming video. Second, Amazon in recent years has become a digital advertising powerhouse, and the addition of streaming hundreds of games would provide even more inventory to pitch marketers. I mentioned Redbird Capital as a potential buyer of The Telegraph, but concerns over Arab money seem to have killed that deal. They did buy top UK studio Alamedia and are part of the team tipped to win the battle for the Redstone media business, comprising of Paramount and many other channels including MTV, CBS, Nickelodeon and the UK's Channel 5. Recent data has shown that YouTube is the number one streaming platform by watch time for one full year, ahead of Netflix, Prime Video and others. Viewers globally now watch more than 1 billion hours on average of YouTube content on their TVs every day. Other research suggests that co-viewing is strong on YouTube and impacts ad effectiveness. It's hard to consider YouTube without referencing MrBeast. With almost 250 million subscribers, his high-budget shows are highly viewed, most topping 150 meters views. Taking his new show to Prime is a major win for Amazon. London seeing shift in viewing trends from multiplexes to arthouse cinemas, Evening Standard. Web3 and gaming. The idea of brands and games is back in fashion again, but this time based on evidence of success. Platforms like Roblox have proven very attractive to brands looking for a young audiences, with many success stories. There is similar activity with Fortnite, but perhaps not quite as established as Roblox. And Mike Shields is enthusiastic, talking of PC and console games as well as Roblox and Fortnite. I can now share some details of a Roblox project I did with Grayson Co for Wreckit's brand Dettol. Maybe an unlikely match for Roblox, but we saw huge success in terms of reach, engagement and shifting attitudes, as well as brand metrics. And the value, insanely cheap for what we achieved. Social. Whilst the moves to ban TikTok in the US continue, the original instigator seems to have changed his mind. As New York Magazine puts it, Trump meets TikTok investor, suddenly doesn't want to ban it. Florida has passed a law banning social media for under 14s, trolling the onus onto Meta etc. to police this. Following new guidance for schools in the UK on banning mobile phones, there is some media attention on this topic, with the BBC Today program running a number of stories, including banning under 16s from having smartphones. A new book documents click farms in Vietnam. Farmers now have thousands of phones they use to game social media. Plus. The history of account planning, from one of the first at BMP. Martin Sorrell was the ad industry's hunter. Now, he's the prey. Wall Street Journal. 2024 Digital Media Trends, Deloitte Insights. Uber Carshare, Valtteri Bottas' second car. Uber testing a new product, the Airbnb model, hire somebody else's car. We worked with Brent Hoberman and Stelios on this idea over 10 years ago. Easy car never quite worked, as people feel quite territorial about their cars. PepsiCo to stop advertising on linear TV, BNT a story from Australia, but global implications? Apple becomes the latest tech giant under siege. Shine to market its unique supply chain technology to global brands, Wall Street Journal.